Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
He got him in the white trunks. He hurt him.
That's beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. He's got it.
And he forced the count. Wow. And here's Lucas and Mitchell. And it's all over. It's nice. All over. First round knockout.
Big
is how Rich
one
Franklin
punch
retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report podcast. It is Sunday, April the 25th, 2021, as I'm actually recording this here on Sunday afternoon. Of course, last night was UFC 261. Wow, what a night that was. Last night, action-packed pay-per-view. And of course, coming up on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, myself and Dale Galvan are going to break that one down for you. But I will tell you that I do want to share a comment that Daniel said to me earlier today. And I thought that it really kind of summed up, what we saw last night in terms of, you know, when you're trying to get your friends, that inner circle around you, that maybe are not involved in MMA, to get involved in MMA. And Daniel just texted me, he goes, yesterday was an event to where a casual fan bought it, they would be hooked on the product. And that is, to me, is a great way to describe what happened last night. Of course, did not see a knockout coming in the main event by Kamaru Usman. Just a beautiful right hand that he landed there. And of course, what Rose Namajunas was able to do, knocking out Wei Li Zhang. And then of course, what an amazing performance by Valentina Shevchenko, going out there and just dominating Jessica Andrade. And of course, thoughts and prayers go out to Chris Weidman, as I know he's having surgery today in Florida for that nasty, gruesome injury that he did suffer when he threw the kick just 17 seconds into his fight with Uriah Hall. And also, hopefully everything's going well with Jimmy Crew with the injury that he suffered in that matchup against Anthony Smith. But of course, myself and Daniel, we'll talk more about UFC 261 on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, which I'll actually tell you, we're taping tomorrow because Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I am going out of town for a couple of days. Actually, Thursday night, I'll be back. I will be doing the Osmo show on Thursday night, but taking a couple of days off. So looking forward to a little rest and relaxation for a couple of days here. But of course, this is the interview edition of the show. And come up here on this episode, you are going to hear my conversations with Cody Stamann and Dustin Jacoby, two men that are going to be fighting coming up here on Saturday night at the UFC Fight Night card there in Las Vegas, as Cody Stamann, well, I guess the third time is going to be the charm between him and Merab Dvalishvili. Had a great conversation with Cody talking about that matchup. And also, you hear my conversation with Dustin Jacoby, who's going to be fighting Ian Kutalaba, stepping up here on a week's notice to replace Devin Clark. Devin Clark came out and said that he tested positive for COVID, so that is why he is no longer in this matchup. And that Jacoby Kutalaba fight, I think, should be a very fun fight. Of course, a great way to show your support for the podcast, leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That does help me out tremendously. So let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Cody Stamann, who fights on Saturday night against Merab Dvalishvili. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that I'm guess is going to believe third time's a charm. Is that correct, Cody? Is three times a charm? Are we a believer in that?
That is the saying. So I'm praying to God it's true.
I was watching an interview that you did with James Lynch, and I did find it interesting that you talked about, like, you know, when it came to with a third offer here, you're like, I don't know if I want to go there. But ultimately, it was the people around you that said, you know, hey, this is a fight you should take. I mean, was it a long conversation they had with you, or did it kind of take some time for you to kind of really say, you know what, I'm going to go down this one more time?
Yeah, I mean, you prepare for the same person for too long. It's like eating the same food for months at a time. I was like, you know, I want some variety. I don't care who else it is. I mean, there's a million guys at bantamweight I can fight, and there's a lot of big names and a lot of contenders, and there's a lot of options, which is always a good thing. But you know, Merab started coming around the gym and, you know, I was training a lot of guys that I train with, and it was kind of like an intel gathering thing. I'm not sure, you know, he understood what was going on, but, you know, he's training with guys that are essentially, you know, my friends, guys that I see in the gym every day. And so it got to a point where enough people had bugged me about it. We're like, dude, we really think you should take this fight. Here's why. And I kind of started leaning towards it, and it didn't seem like his name was going away. It seemed like this was a fight the UFC wanted. They wanted it for, you know, 6 months. I don't think that they were going to rush to give me any other options. You know, since we'd already said yes to fight each other twice, and I was like, you know what? I've been preparing for so long. If the Marab fight gets me back in the cage, that is the route I'm going to take. You know, so it was a combination of, you know, people telling me this was a good fight for me and me being like, you know what? I've been ready for a long time. I need to finally get my release. I need to finally compete. And I think Marab was going to definitely be the fastest way to get back in the cage. So, you know, it's the route I took.
July 15th, last year was the last time we saw you in the octagon. I mean, how do you describe the last 10 months? I mean, obviously you had those canceled fights at the end of the year and the beginning of this year. Like, how do you sum up what this ride's been like over the last year?
It's been the longest training camp of my life. You know, I've never really put the pedal down for this long. I've always had time to kind of, you know, something always kind of slowed me down. You know, something always came up, you know, whether it was an injury or, you know, something happened in my life where, you know, I kind of got a little time away from fighting. And honestly, like, it's hard to say, you know, if you just look at how much I've trained, how much I've prepared, like, I've never had this much time to get in the shape that I'm in today. I've never had this much time to, you know, be the athlete I am today. And, you know, I was ready in December. Yeah, I was really ready in March. And now I got to believe I'm even more ready. I've had so much time to prepare for the style that Marab brings. You know, I'm at the point now, the preparation is done. I don't really need to do anything else. You know, basically all my workouts from here on out are just to make weight, you know? Yeah, I'm in a really good place, and I've never really had a training camp. You know, everything is always seems rushed. I mean, 8 weeks sounds like a lot of time, but, you know, if you go in and you're not in great shape and there's a ton of things that you need to work on specifically, it doesn't give you a ton of time because these things develop over weeks. And I've had months, and, you know, I don't think I can think back to my fighting career. I'm always a guy that's always consistently in the gym, but there's a difference between being in the gym to be in the gym and just to get better. And there's a difference between preparing for a fight. You know what I mean? The focus level is so much different. And I've been laser focused for a really, really long time. And I'm thinking at that focus level for this amount of time, it can't do anything but produce results, you know? And when I said that I'm the best I've ever been, like, I meant that in every single way. I mean, I've wrestled more, I've grappled more. You know, I've had the time to, you know, fix things that were definitely, you know, holes in my game. You know, I've had the time to go reevaluate, you know, let past performances and see things I did right, things I did wrong, things I need to do mentally. You know, I've had all the times to correct all the mistakes and kind of reinvent myself. You know, like, last year was tough. I mean, last year was a hard year for me, not because of COVID or anything else, just because of, you know, personal stuff. And then, you know, losing a fight and having just an abominable performance and, you know, and then having time to kind of sit with that and really be like, okay, what do we need to do? You know, I'm not the kind of guy that is ever really looking back. I'm always focused on, you know, kind of what's next, but I've had a lot of time to kind of reflect and be like, okay, you know, if I'm really going to compete in this sport at the highest level against the best guys, there are mistakes that need to be corrected. There's things that I'm consistently doing wrong, whether it's a mental thing or it's a physical thing or there's a technique. I've had the time to correct those, you know, and I'm just looking forward to, you know, seeing how good I can be, you know, because this time hasn't done anything, you know, but kind of strengthen my resolve to, you know, be the absolute best athlete I can be. Because I have you know, essentially an enormous opportunity in front of me. And I don't want to look back and be like, man, you know, I should have took that time and fixed these things. I've done that. You know, I've fixed the mistakes. I've had the time. And at this point, I'm just ready to get it done. You know, really, I mean, there's no other way to say it. Like I am chomping at the bit to get in there.
I know you've talked about the pace that Marab brings. Is that's the thing that, you know, is what he does the best. What have you done to get ready for that pace? I mean, is it just amping up the cardio, or, you know, how do you get ready for that?
Well, I mean, you always want people to fight your fight, right? And I feel like a lot of people fight Marab's fight, and that's why he's been so successful. He's really good at making you kind of fight at his pace, at his level. And it wears on guys. I mean, so the first thing you do is you ramp the cardio up. You get that look. You need, I mean, there's not many people that can give you the Marab look, you know what I mean? So instead of, you know, trying to get somebody to have the kind of output that Marab has, I've been rotating, you know, multiple guys in a round, you know, not having one sparring partner for 5 minutes. I mean, having a new sparring partner every 2.5 minutes. And it's like, okay, these 2.5 minutes, you're going at me balls out. And then, you know, after this guy goes at me for 2.5 minutes, they bring a completely fresh guy mid round, and that guy goes after me for 2.5 minutes. So I've had these crazy, crazy sparring rounds, like gauntlet style sparring rounds. And then also, you know, just the conditioning regimen has been completely changed. I mean, it's been, I'm hitting PRs, things I didn't even think that I was physically capable of doing. You know, I'm running 5-minute miles. So I've never even ran anything sub 6 minute prior to, you know, preparation to this. And I'm seeing the results, and now I'm sitting back and I'm wondering, I'm like, I should have been pushing myself like this my entire career. You know what I mean? Cause if my entire fighting career, I had, you know, an extra gear, like what could I have done? You know? And now I really realize that I have more in the tank. You know what I mean? I have more to give, and I really thought I was working hard, but I've kind of reinvented what hard work looks like for me.
One of the things of when I was just kind of writing down some notes about this fight, the one thing that did stick out to me is we're coming up on 4 years of you being in the UFC. How do you describe your run to the UFC to this point?
So, I mean, the UFC for me, it was like a sprint. You know, when I got in the UFC, I got in the UFC on 7 days notice. And once I got there, I wanted to be there, and I wanted to compete against the toughest guys in the world. And it's a dream I had for so long. So like when I got in the UFC, it was like, put the pedal down, whoever they give me, I want the toughest fights, give me everybody. And, you know, if you look, Tom Dukinwah is my second fight. I'm in the UFC for 2 months. That's the guy I'm fighting. Okay, let's do it. And then, you know, 3 months later, I'm fighting Brian Caraway. So it's like I'm going up exponentially. You know what I mean? I went from, you know, fighting in the regional scene. I mean, you saw, we talked then. I'm fighting guys, you know, I'm fighting the best guy from Iowa or the best guy from, you know, nowhere, you know, that has like an okay record. I go from fighting those guys and I immediately get thrown into the mix with the best guys in the world. And I didn't give myself enough time to develop. You know, I was rushing things. I was so focused on the goal. I was like, I'm going to be in the top 10 in a year. I did it in 6 months. You know, I'm going to, you know, after I'm in the top 10, I'm going to be a title contender in another year. And then I lose to Aljamain Sterling, you know, a guy that has, you know, 11, 12 UFC fights, and I haven't been in the UFC a year yet. So it was like a wake up call. And I didn't know what I had to do. Until now, I mean, there's a level of maturity you get, you know, after being at a high level for a long time, and you figure out what works, what doesn't work, and you kind of you combined all this data, and you really start, you know, when you really really take this as a professional, you start looking at things differently. You know what I mean? Like I was always one of those guys that just kind of ran my body into the ground. I take better care of myself now. I know when to rest. I know when to go. You know, I have. You know, the staff at the PI since I moved to Vegas has been absolutely amazing. You know, these guys have kept me healthy longer than I've ever been healthy. I mean, so it's about, you know, being a smarter athlete, training smarter, being being more disciplined, doing things the right way. And you know, I was like, kind of like that Rocky style guy for forever, you know, coming up in Michigan. And I enjoy that style of training. I mean, I have a garage gym that I still like. I enjoy those that style workout, you know what I mean? Because I went from, you know, training in a garage to being in the UFC to going to the PI and having all these doctors and these super intelligent people, you know, tell me exactly what I need to do. But I still enjoy, you know, getting in the garage and hitting the bag. But it's just like the combination of all the right ingredients to figure out, you know, what makes you tick, what makes you the best athlete you can be. And I'm coming up on that point, you know, there's a peak for everybody, you know, and I believe that, you know, coming up on my peak, and it's, you know, my experience and my athleticism are meeting, and it's like this. They come up and you're there for a second, and then things start going the other way, you know. So I'm coming up on that peak, and I have this window right here, you know, where my experience and athleticism are going to meet, you know. So the next year, 2 years, you know, that's the best version of myself that I'm ever going to be. And I need to maximize these fights, and, you know, I need to essentially make my money and move on.
You know, hearing what you said there made me think of another conversation I had with another UFC fighter where they had initially gone to the PI and they'd gone through those initial, you know, just tests that they put all the athletes through, and their mentality was always like, I got to work out 3 times a day. Like, this is just what I do. And then they tell them, like, actually with your body type, you're actually hurting yourself as opposed to helping yourself. Is that something that they just, was it something along those lines they said to you? Like, they said, Cody, you don't have enough gas tank in to fuel this body that you have, and so you need to kind of reduce some things?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was like I would train for 6 months, and then I would get an injury, and then I was out for 3 months. And then, you know, you're coming off an injury and you're fighting again, and it's just not the right way to do it. I just ran myself into the ground, hurt myself, and then had to rebuild myself. You know what I mean? That's kind of been the story of my athletic career. I mean, that's what took me so long to get in the UFC, and that's why I got in at 27 and not 24, is because, you know, I was out for a year with an ACL injury. I was out for a year with broken hands and shoulder injuries and all these, just I mean, it's a brutal sport. I mean, you're going to get hurt. But if you run your body into the ground, you're 10 times more likely to get hurt. So I have this Aura ring that I wear every day, and it tells me exactly, you know what I mean? If there's a day when my readiness score isn't where it needs to be, you know, I call my coaches and I'm like, listen, today's going to be a light day. This isn't going to be like a crazy hard day. And I'll change my schedule according to, like, you know, what this ring says, you know, and coming from like a more scientific approach, instead of just like, hey, I need to hit, you know, max heart rate every single day and run myself down, you know what I mean? And then, you know, maybe take, you know, the last 2 weeks before a fight, kind of recover a little bit so I feel good. It's more like you're going like this instead of going, you know, it's more of a gradual increase, and it's just a smarter approach. And God, it's something, you know, it's like one of those things you wish you knew what you know now back then, you know, because God knows, like, you know, how much faster things could have progressed for me.
Was that a tough mentality to change, of realizing you need to do things smarter, not harder?
Yeah. I mean, look, I have that blue collar mentality, you know. I've been, I see, you know, I have two parents that have like insane work ethics. Like, these people can work 15, 16 hours a day. And, like those were my role models growing up. So, like, all I saw in my whole life was like hard work, you know, and I saw hard work pay off for them. And I'm like, well, this is, you know, this is the key. It's hard work. You can just work your ass off, and, you know what I mean, you're goal oriented and just go after it. And that's the mentality I've always had. But realizing that there's a bunch of like little sub goals to get your goal a little bit faster, it's definitely changed my approach. But, you know, when it comes time to, you know, really put the hard work in, you know, if I'm not worn out, I can like exceed what I was capable of doing before, because I have I'm recovered. So it's a different approach. And once you see the results, you know, it changes the way you think. You know, they're like, hey, you need to rest today, this is going to be a light day. And you're like, no, I feel good. They're like, no, listen, like, just listen to us and you're going to see the results. And and I have, you know what I mean? I've had ample time to see the results and see the way my body has changed and the way I feel. So it's a completely different format, but I mean, I see it working. So it's perfect for me.
And of course, we're all going to see your fight here come up on May the 1st, UFC Vegas, number 25. Cody, as always, appreciate the time. Let me know anything for you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Everything's just Cody Stamann. I mean, yeah, this fight for me is essentially the two best grapplers in the bantamweight division going at it. You know, we have, you know, Merab, the big takedown guy, me, kind of a big takedown guy accidentally. You know, I'd be willing to bet Merab $1,000 on a takedown if he wants to. We can donate all the money to charity. I'm pretty confident that I can wrestle this guy. So looking forward to proving it May 1st.
And there was my conversation with Cody Stamann. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup coming up here on Saturday against Merab Dvalishvili. Of course, this is a matchup that has been booked now three times for various reasons with injuries not coming together here. And, you know, very interesting to kind of hear what Cody Stamann said there about just this matchup and, you know, really, you know, hearing him talking about dealing with the pace of Merab Dvalishvili. That is definitely a matchup that I'm really looking forward to seeing come up here on Saturday night at the UFC Fight Night card there in Las Vegas. Now, coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Dustin Jacoby, who is going to be fighting Ian Kutalaba, taking this fight here on short notice. And also part of the story with this one is the fact that Dustin Jacoby has a new four-fight contract with the UFC, had one fight left on his previous deal, so he gets a new fight here. And man, this should be a banger of a fight between him and Ian Kutalaba. So here's my conversation with Dustin Jacoby. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that, well, when I got asked about, hey, can we get Dustin on the show? I was like, hold on, Dustin's got a fight? And it's like, go straight to Tapology. I go, oh, he does got a fight. He's got a short notice fight here. And my first thought was, oh, this one's a banger.
Dude, this one is a banger. I'm extremely excited for this opportunity. You know, I've been telling people, it's kind of funny. It's almost like I manifested this one because I've been not even by it, just by complete chance, I've been like every one of Kutalaba's fights, I always end up seeing, I always end up tuning into, and he's a guy that sticks out too. So I don't know if it's that as well, but I saw him for the past couple years and be like, man, I can fight that guy sometime. You know, I wonder how I do against that guy. And then I got the call and I was like, man, here we go. I love the matchup. I think it's a great fight for the fans. And I think it's great for everybody involved.
How much does the matchup go into, you know, a 9-day fight, you know, 9-day notice fight?
Yeah, well, it does, you know, matchups make the fights. And in this one in particular, I absolutely loved it. I loved the matchup right when I heard about it. There's certain fights, like even with my last fight with Max Grishin, I don't know what it was with that fight. I mean, I was excited. I don't know what it was. I couldn't get to the level I'm at right now. When I heard of this fight, I am like uber excited. I love the matchup. I love for myself and for the fans and everybody involved, man. I'm just really excited for this opportunity.
As you took a deeper dive into Kutalaba, was there something that you saw over the past couple of days that maybe you just had not seen previously in watching him?
Not really, man. I mean, he's everything that I've seen is kind of what I expected. One thing that I have noticed, like digging a little deeper, is the fact that I feel like he fades pretty hard. He fades harder than I thought. You know, he is the Hulk. He comes out super aggressive. And I think he's a real emotional fighter. I think he's kind of an emotional guy, like at weigh-ins, so get up in your face and scream. And I think he uses a lot of unnecessary emotion and that he should be saving emotion and energy that he should be saving for the fight. But you know, I welcome that. I'm excited for that. I'm excited to get with a guy that's so emotional and so just passionate about what he does. And it's going to bring out the excitement for me too, man.
What goes through your mind when you see, like, cause you know, when you two stare down in Vegas, potentially, you know, he might come up with that emotion. Have you ever dealt with that before where, you know, dealing with an opponent like that?
No, not to that level. You know, I fully expect him to do something at weigh-ins, and weigh-ins are always pretty dramatic for him. But the only other time I can think of, I fought Michael Dutz. He was 37-3, a very established kickboxer. We fought in London at the O2 Arena. And it was really the first time any opponent has ever kind of rattled me, or he just got right in my face and he just said, tomorrow I kill you. And I remember my armpits just started sweating profusely, and they were like dripping down. I just got so worked up. And that's about the only weigh-in moment that I can recall where it got real intense. But, you know, if he comes up in, I'm ready for it, right? I'm prepared for it. I know that's what he does. So I'll just sit in there with a little grin on my face. And like I told my buddies, I might say a couple things to him, you know, low-key. But, yeah, man, everything about this matchup has me excited.
Yeah, speaking of the O2 Arena, when we went to play over in London 2 years ago, we stayed at the hotel that was connected to it. That's an interesting venue because it's like, yeah. It's basically like, I would best describe it as like a shopping mall / bar restaurant dome, essentially.
Yeah, man, it's pretty cool. And another cool thing is I got a corner, so I fought there in 2013. And then a buddy teammate of mine at the time, Ian Heinisch, had a fight over there in, I believe it was March of 2019. So it was awesome to go back and see it again from a different perspective, because it was a glory promotion that I fought for in 2013. I think they only used like half the arena. And with the UFC, they used everything. I forgot just kind of how big and how different it was. And yeah, it was cool to revisit. What a cool venue to say you've been to.
Is there happen to be like a bucket list venue that you want to fight in that you've not had a chance to fight in yet?
I think the MGM, or not the MGM, excuse me, the in New York.
MSG.
MSG, yeah, there you go, Madison Square Garden. I think that would be one which is super cool. I was able to corner another buddy, Chris Camozzi, who fought there for glory as well. So I thought that was awesome. I think that one would be super cool. And MGM as well. You know, I fought in Vegas so many times. I fought at, you know, all over Mandalay Bay, Planet Hollywood, the Hard Rock, you know, now the Apex. But I think the MGM would be cool to fight in as well. Just so much history and you know, so many great fights that went down there.
You know, in Vegas, the place that I enjoyed watching the fights the most at was the Pearl at the Palms, because it was such a, like an intimate venue. You heard everything because it's only like 2,000 people. Like to me, that was a great venue that the UFC used to go to, man. It's been years since they've been there.
Yeah. I bet that place gets rocking. And you know, one cool place that I fought that I think's really awesome looking back on it, I see those, you know, you got Jimi Hendrix and behind you, but, is the Forum in Inglewood, California. Yeah. And I was able to fight there with glory. So I think that's pretty cool, you know? It's all about getting out and going to these venues, man. I have so much history and it's really neat.
You mentioned about Kutalaba and fighting with emotions. I mean, that could be a good or a bad thing. How can you take advantage of that?
I take advantage of it by just being calm. You know, he's going to come out and be aggressive, swing big looping hooks that he usually does. And I think if I can, you know, just stay composed, and I have pretty clean striking in general, but, you know, keep it simple. 1-2 straight down the pipe. He comes out and he wants to get real aggressive and swing for the fences. And I tell you what, man, that's what drains a lot of his energy too, is fighting with that. So I welcome that. I hope he comes out, you know, just swinging for the fences right off the bat, because then I know, just weather the storm for a couple minutes and then it's going to be a boxing clinic.
You know, in terms of his actual boxing, like how do you rank it up against some of the guys that you fought previously?
Well, that's what's interesting, man, is everybody, I've been seeing on Twitter and some comments of people saying that this is a huge step up in competition for Jacoby. It's like, dude, you haven't walked a second in my shoes. You don't, obviously you don't know my resume. I fought 20 plus professional fights with Glory Kickboxing. I've been in there with, you know, Daniel Lunga, Michael Duke, Murad Buzidi, Simon Marcus, Alex Pereira. I mean, some very heavy-handed technical boxers. And, you know, Kuntalaba is not going to be anything I haven't seen before. And not to mention, I know he's strong and powerful, which I think is going to fade, but he's not a heavy wrestler. He's not a heavy grappler. If he does, you know, by chance get me down, I don't think he can hold me down. I'm just going to use more energy on his part. And, you know, he's a heavy puncher. He's a hard boxer. He kind of reminds me like a Mike Tyson, like, you know, and, but it's nothing I haven't seen before, man. People think this is a step up in competition for me. I honestly believe with him being more striker dominant, it's a step up in competition for him, man, where he had the striking advantage and against Devin Clark. He no longer has that advantage anymore. And with that being said, of course he can catch me and knock me out. You know, he can knock anybody out, you know? So yeah. I just say I have to be careful. I'm not going to overlook him. Like I said, man, I've been in there with the best strikers in the world. So I'm extremely confident with this matchup. I love it. And may the best man win, man. I'm excited.
You know, I was just thinking about this because I'm just kind of thinking as you've come back to the UFC, you know, you've kind of been more someone who could threaten with the grappling. And that's not Kutalaba's game. So I'm thinking, when is the last time you've been in an MMA match where you just knew, like, hey, the guy across from me, the odds of him going grappling are highly unlikely.
Yeah, I know. That's what excites me so much about it, man. And like my last fight with Max Grishin, that's another thing. People think it's a step up in competition. Dude, that guy was 31-8. He's 31-9 now. I beat him by unanimous decision. He's one of the biggest light heavyweights there is that I will ever see. And I tell my coach in training, when I'm grappling with my opponent, with my training partners, we got Cody Brundage, who's a very strong, good wrestler, man. When he gets on you, it's like, good luck. And I'm fighting with that every single day. And, you know, when I'm doing all that, I just picture this big Russian coming at me. I was so scared of getting stuck underneath him. And I think it took me out of my game a little bit because I was nervous to go after it. Whereas in this case, I mean, I feel like I can really go after it because I don't feel a threat with the wrestling grappling. Even if he shoots in and does get me down, I don't think he can hold me there. I know he can't hold me there. So it'll just be a scramble back to the feet. Or maybe I get, dude, my ground game's come a long way, man. I've been catching guys in the gym with some submissions and getting, you know, it's the more you do anything, the more you get better and pick up little tricks here and there. So I just feel like I'm better everywhere in this fight. I feel like, you know, the fires that I've walked through, you know, I say the Hanyak's forged in fire, man, the experience that I've been through and everything has led me for these moments, man. And I'm so excited. I got a new contract from the UFC and it just makes me feel very appreciated and valued. And now they're putting me on the main card with, you know, this guy one fight shy of the co-main event. So, man, all the hard work I've done and all the, you know, the fights that have led me to right here, it's going to pay off.
Like, as you think about, like, the last 2 years and just this journey, you know, back in the martial arts and everything that you've done over the last 2 years, like, how do you describe it?
Oh, it's crazy, man. I don't even know how to describe it because in 2018, when I took that time off, I broke my arm back to back. And I took some like 4, 6, 7, 8 months off at the gym and you know, I wasn't training and the more time I was out, I was thinking to myself, you know, I might not fight again. And part of me was kind of content with it. And then part of me was like, why did guys like Kuntzalaba, I remember this time in my life seeing him fight and thinking, man, I can compete with that guy, you know, I can do that. So, you know, a lot, I give so much credit to my buddy, teammate, Anthony Smith, who fights tomorrow, opens up the main card of UFC 261. You know, I think we've talked about this before. He was fighting John Jones and needed my help in the camp and him and Coach both said, hey man, it'd be awesome if you came in and helped us out. And that's what got me back into it. And even watching him compete with John Jones and you know, coming up in the ranks with Anthony, when I saw that, it just reaffirmed that, you know, I can do this. And, you know, I started getting back after it, had some fights in 2019, eventually finally had my contender shot. And here I am, man. It's crazy. Just a year ago, I wasn't even in the UFC. And here we are now on my second contract and on the main card fighting a well-known guy that I think I can feel the excitement from all the fans. So it's been a heck of a journey, man. And, you know, the only thing I've ever known is just to keep going, and that's where I'm at right now. I kept going, and I'm getting rewarded, so I'm very happy with where I'm at.
Yeah, it's one of those fights I think just people circle, no matter where it's at on the card, they're going to go, okay, I got to be in front of the television that one, and don't blink, because I might miss something with these two strikers. So, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing the fight here come up on Saturday, UFC Vegas. As always, let me know anything on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, you can find me at the Hanyak DJ on Instagram, Twitter. Just want to give a special thanks to my management at Iridium Sports Agency. Those guys are, you know, the absolute best. They've you know, it's paid off big time signing with them and building a relationship with them. And my team at Factory X, my team at Landau Performance, and You know, it's my family and friends, everybody that's super excited for this, man. I can't wait to go out there and make everybody proud.
And that was my conversation with Dustin Jacoby. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup here on Saturday night at UFC Fight Night. I believe this UFC Vegas 25, I want to say it is. So I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me. Of course, fight card going to be headed by Reyes and Yuri there. Big matchup there at 205 pounds. But also you got Cub Swanson taking on Gigi Kakaze. That should be a very fun fight between those two men. See how much that does play out on the feet, or maybe just Cub try to maybe get that matchup to the ground. As I just kind of, as I'm over here on Tapology, just looking at this fight card, which I'll tell you, I really haven't taken a deep dive into looking at this fight card, but some matchups that do stick out to me. Kai Kamaka III against TJ Brown. That is somewhat interesting to see what KB Bolar looks like. How can he bounce back taking on Andreas Mikulaitis? Sam Hughes, that's another one. She's always, someone that I've been kind of monitoring on the regional scene. Sam Strickland versus Christoph Jocko. That's a matchup I like. Jonathan Pierce, interesting kind of see what he does there against Gabriel Benitez. Luke Sanders is always someone that I do tend to, is a guy that I've been following in for years. Of course, this fight card, one of the things I do love about Tapology is that you get to see the canceled and fizzled bouts. So just kind of just looking up and down just what has happened here. You looked at TJ Laramie, Damon Jackson, Luke Saunders was scratched. TJ Laramie versus Damon Jackson scratched. Cub Swanson versus Gavin Tucker fizzled. Mike Jackson, Dean Barry canceled. Jung Yu Kim versus Paulina Baleo canceled. Ian Kutalaba, Devin Clark canceled. Shabab Abdul Rahimov, Augusto Sakai. That one is canceled. Herbert Burns, Alex Munoz. That one was canceled. Corrales Newsom canceled. Botella Silva canceled. So that's one of the great things I do love going over to Tapology. Tapology definitely is my go-to place to check out what's going on. And, one of the things I really love about Tapology is when you can see a fighter withdrew. It really can tell you a little bit of things. Should mention, I'm sure on Wednesday, myself and Daniel will talk a little bit about the PFL. I mentioned this on Twitter on Friday night. If you had parlayed Clay Collard, Bubba Jenkins, and Marcin Held together, plus 8,500, three upsets. All those fighters were 3-1 betting underdogs in that matchup. It was great to have the PFL back. I definitely enjoyed that card. It's kind of seeing what they're doing and how that's going to play out. I mean, obviously a night of upsets with Anthony Pettis losing, Natan Schultz, the champion, losing, and also Lance Palmer losing as well. So, but of course, the one thing, even though those guys lost, they can come back and bounce back and still make their way into the semifinals and the playoffs and the championship later on this year. So it was great to have the PFL back and all the various things that they're doing with that broadcast. But of course, I'm sure myself and Daniel will talk a little bit of that on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. Do want to thank Cody Stamen and Dustin Jacoby for coming on this edition of the podcast. Of course, if there's anyone you ever want to hear on the show in the future, all you got to do is different ways you can contact me. You can contact me on email, jason@themmareport.com, on social media, Twitter @Jason_Floyd. Instagram is @Jason_Floyd. My DMs on Instagram are open. So, I know that's the way a lot of people do like to communicate with me. So be sure to hit me up there on Instagram as well. So as always, appreciate you taking time out of your day to download and listen to this episode of the MMA Report podcast. So that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast, which comes out two times a week on Sunday and on Wednesday on your favorite podcasting platform and radioinfluence.com.